Lamentations chapter 2. God's punishment of Jerusalem. How has the Lord covered the daughter of Zion with a cloud in his anger? He has cast down from heaven to the earth the beauty of Israel and hasn't remembered his footstool in the day of his anger. Well, he says that the Lord has covered the daughter of Zion with a cloud, but, you know, it was their sins which were the cloud. It was their sin which had separated them from God. And Jeremiah knew that, but he's in depression here and he's really, really feeling for his people, even though they'd multiple times tried to kill him. But now they are actually suffering. He very much feels for them and takes their side. The Lord has swallowed up all the habitations of Jacob and has not pitied. He has thrown down in his wrath the strongholds of the daughter of Judah. He has brought them down to the ground. He has cut off in fierce anger all the horn of Israel. He has drawn back his right hand from before the enemy. He has burned up Jacob like a flaming fire. He has bent his bow like an enemy. He has stood with his right hand as an adversary and has killed all that were pleasant to the eye. In the tent of the daughter of Zion, he has poured out his wrath like fire. I suppose he's alluding to how the Babylonians burnt the temple. But why did they do that? Because the Jews had been worshipping idols right in the most holy place. The Lord has become as an enemy. He has swallowed up Israel. He has multiplied in the daughter of Judah mourning and lamentation. He has violently taken away his tent as if it were just in a garden. He has destroyed his place of assembly. Yahweh has caused solemn assembly and Sabbath to be forgotten in Zion. Well, the people weren't keeping the Sabbath properly, and they were mixing the feasts, what he calls the solemn assembly, with their idol worship. The Lord has cast off his altar. He has abhorred his sanctuary. Well, yeah, it was they who had really detested God's sanctuary by profaning it, by offering sacrifices to idols right in the sanctuary. He has given up into the hand of the enemy the walls of her palaces. Yahweh has purposed to destroy the wall of the daughter of Zion. He has stretched out the line. He has not withdrawn his hand from destroying. He has made the rampart and wall to lament. They languish together. Her gates are sunk into the ground. He has destroyed and broken her bars. Her king and her princes are among the nations where the law is not. Well, sure, the law of Moses was not the law of Babylon, and Zedekiah was there in Babylon, in exile. But he didn't exactly follow the law of Moses anyway when he was in the land. So all the time, it really seems that Jeremiah is rather overly taking the side of his people. And yet, in a sense, Jeremiah does reflect God's feelings, because God likewise was grieved, we're told, for what he did to them through the Babylonians after he'd done it, even though they absolutely more than deserved it. The elders of the daughter of Zion sit on the ground. They keep silence. They have cast up dust on their heads. They have clothed themselves with sackcloth. Well, that's what they were doing now that Jerusalem was in ruins, but they'd been asked to do that before it happened, in repentance, so that this wouldn't have happened, and they didn't. My eyes fail with tears, my heart is troubled, my liver is poured on the earth because of the destruction of the daughter of my people. Well, Jeremiah himself had prayed at various times that God would really judge the priests and the people who were making him suffer, who were trying to kill him because he was a prophet. And yet now it actually happens, he feels ever so sorry for them and his heart is absolutely with them. Well, that does show us what a nice-natured sort of person he was, I think, really. But it also shows that be careful what you pray for, because in essence it will come true and you may not like it when it does. What shall I testify to you? What shall I liken to you, daughter of Jerusalem? What shall I compare to you, that I may comfort you, virgin daughter of Zion? For your breach is great like the sea. Who can heal you? Well, of course, the answer to that was God, because God, through Jeremiah, has said, your wound is incurable, but I will heal you. Not immediately, but in the restoration from exile in Babylon. Your prophets have seen for you false and foolish visions. And it was those false prophets who tried to kill Jeremiah. They did not expose your sin to ward off your captivity, but have seen for you false oracles. All that passed by clapped their hands at you. They hissed and wagged their head at the daughter of Jerusalem, saying, "Is this the city that men called the perfection of beauty, the joy of the whole land?" That's quoting some of the Psalms of David that talk about Jerusalem like that. All your enemies have opened their mouth wide against you. They hiss and gnash the teeth, and they say, "We have swallowed her up. Certainly, this is the day we looked for. Yahweh has done that which he purposed." So Jeremiah's perspective is that, yeah, that's what men did. They feel that's what they did, but actually God was behind them. He has fulfilled his word that he commanded in the days of old. He has thrown down and has not pitied. Their heart cried to the Lord, "Wall of the daughter of Zion, let tears run down like a river day and night. Give yourself no respite. Arise, cry out in the night at the beginning of the watches. Pour out your heart like water before the face of the Lord. Lift up your hands toward him for the life of your young children that faint for hunger at the head of every street." So I think there were some Jews left in the land. We're told that the poor of the land remained. And so he's asking them to repent, to cry to God, to see if he can change it. But actually Jeremiah himself had prophesied that they had to have 70 years captivity in Babylon. But he was open to the idea of God changing, just as Moses was. And so he's saying, "Look, let's pray to God earnestly. Maybe he will do something right now. Look, Yahweh, and see to whom you have done this. Shall the women eat their fruit, the children that are dandled in the hands? Shall the priest and the prophet be killed in the sanctuary of the Lord? The youth and the old man lie on the ground in the streets. My virgins and my young men have fallen by the sword. You have killed them in the day of your anger. You have slaughtered and not pitied. You have called, as in the day of a solemn assembly, my terrors on every side. There was none that escaped or remained in the day of Yahweh's anger. Those that I have dandled and brought up as my enemy consumed." It's not clear whether Jeremiah is lamenting that his own children have been killed in the Babylonian invasion, or whether he is so identified with those who had lost their children that he says, "This happened to me." I think you see there how he was really able to identify with other people. When we were reading through Jeremiah, the prophecy of Jeremiah, we came to points where he is predicting how Moab is going to weep, and then he starts weeping. He really feels for people, and that is how we should feel. And it's especially wonderful that he feels like that for the priests and for the elders of Jerusalem, because they were the very people who'd put him in the dungeon, who tried to kill him, who'd done all sorts of horrible things to him. And yet he feels for them. And in a sense, he represents, I think, God's feelings for his people.